Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pasta injured. 2 weeks on the shelf. Who should his owners pick up? New coach in Anaheim. Should fantasy players care? And DFS insight, analysis, and picks for the Tuesday slate. It's NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's up, everybody? Pete and Rob here with you talking fantasy hockey on this Tuesday. And Rob, big news right off the bat. David Pastrnak is going to be out at least 2 weeks for the Boston Bruins.
Thumb surgery, slipped and fell on the way to his transportation as per the Bruins. Not good news there. He is expected to return this season, but the fact that they even had to say that makes me think this might be longer than 2 weeks. And we were just talking about this morning, Pete, you and I, how it was great that the Bruins were able to break up their top line and spread out the scoring. That's no longer the case.
Yeah, we'll see what they end up doing. It's been Danton Heinen lately with Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron. Of course, Pastrnak, before the injury, was going to be on the second. He was playing on the second line with David Krejci. But now we'll see what the lines end up being. I do think that Danton Heinen will still have some fantasy appeal. He will have exposure probably to either Marchand or Bergeron.
At the end of the day, for me, this is when Brad Marchand needs to start scoring goals. I know he's a 20-plus goal scorer this season, but given how well the Bruins have played from the beginning of the season until now, he needs more. The Bruins need him to step up and bury goals like he's a 50-goal scorer.
And in the injuries just continue for Boston. I mean, they finally got healthy. They dealt with all those injuries to McAvoy and Krug and Bergeron earlier in the season, not even to mention all the others. But David Pastrnak is one of five players in the NHL this season with 30-plus goals and 30-plus assists. So that's really difficult to replace.
You can't replace a player like that. I don't care who's available on the waiver wire. You cannot get that type of production. Now, in terms of points, only the player I'd look at that comes to mind first, John Drouin of the Montreal Canadiens. He's about 51% owned. So in some leagues, in some thin leagues, he'll be out there. But really, I mean, like we said, this is a player that's going to score goals. This is a player that gets the shots. It's just too hard to replace a player of his caliber.
And there are a couple of good center-only guys out there. There's a Dylan Strome who actually faces the Bruins on Tuesday night. He's been racking up points, entered the top 100 forwards, et cetera, playing with Alex DeBrincat really well. There's also Joe Thornton who continues to rack up points. He's also center-only, 12 points in his past 14 games. Is this a situation where you kind of hope you have some dual-eligible guys and then you can just add the best player available?
I guess that's the best case scenario, but you're right. I think in this scenario, you're going to have to look at center only as a hope for production there. And Jumbo Joe, like I said on the network 2 weeks ago, he's still only 12% owned. So I don't know if anybody didn't watch the show or they just don't want to pick up a center only. Now is the time when you have to do it. And this is a player, Pete, that is not just hot as of the past 2 weeks. This is a future Hall of Fame player that produces above a career point per game average. We need to add him now in all leagues. It's a perfect replacement from a production-only standpoint.
Thornton's playing on the third line right now. Really favorable spot for him with the Sharks' top two lines rolling. And he's playing with Kevin LeBanc, who has 14 power play points on the season. He's got 4 goals over his past 2 games. And their chemistry has given the Sharks a new dimension. The Sharks have won 6 in a row without Erik Karlsson.
The only reason it's a favorable spot, Pete, is because the Sharks' top six is playing so well. Because the opponents have to play their best D-men against those top two lines. And then Jumbo Joe's out there just taking up all the even strength points against a weaker blue line. So I love that ad for anybody in season long, and I love that as a cheap exposure option in DFS because he's getting some power play time too. I think Jumbo Joe all around in DFS and season long right now is a player that's got to be on your radar night in and night out.
And a couple other guys that are dual eligible wings. There's Travis Konecny out there, and there's Riley Smith. Both of those guys joined the top 100 forwards this week. There's Josh Anderson as well, who covers the categories really nicely with goals, plus minus, hits, shots on goal. These are some guys to consider as you look to replace David Pastrnak.
I like the Konecny ad. He's playing great lately. But let's look at some other injury news. Out of the blue yesterday, we heard that Corey Crawford of the Chicago Blackhawks said he feels perfect, 100%, ready to start skating, ready to get going here. Now, the situation's interesting out there because Colin Delia and Cam Ward are both on winning streak. Dealey is on a 3-game, Ward's on a 4-game. With that position playing so well for them, where you see Corey Crawford coming in, where is he in terms of the whole mix here at the goalie position?
The Blackhawks are in a great spot. They play the Bruins on Tuesday night without David Pastrnak, so a chance to extend their winning streak to 8. The goaltenders are playing well, but to me, when Corey Crawford steps back into the lineup, he's the clear number one. I don't pay much attention to Cam Ward. Colin Delia, nice story that he's playing this well, above a .920 save percentage. He's just got extended for 3 years, so keep an eye on him. A decent goalie option for keeper dynasty formats. But to me, Corey Crawford, when he's healthy, the Blackhawks, if they get Corey Crawford back, I'll go so far to say they will make the playoffs this season. That's my level of confidence in him when he's healthy.
I'm with you there, and it reminds me of a couple seasons ago when Corey Crawford had the whole team on his back. He was playing above a .930 save percentage, and we're seeing it this season, but it's Patrick Kane that has the team on his back right now. The crazy amount of production that you're seeing from him, he already passed his high in points from last season in just 55 games. It's incredible to see that, but when I think that Corey Crawford could come back in this lineup, take that team to another level, I'm with you. I see them in the playoffs, and that's a team in the first round, Pete, I would not want to face.
No way. I mean, definitely the way their youth has come along over the course of the season after the coaching change. Patrick Kane looks like he's not only going to surpass 100 points, he might get 120 at this rate. He's on a 14-game point streak, looking to make it 15 against the Bruins and likely Tuukka Rask on Tuesday. But yeah, the Blackhawks, just music to their ears. I mean, to hear Corey Crawford saying he feels back to normal and practicing in full makes me think he's probably coming back in the next week or two.
That's right. And you know what? In a league just yesterday, even before the Crawford news, I picked up Colin Delia and Cam Ward as a tandem in one of my deeper leagues. And I have to say, I'm feeling pretty good about that now hearing the Crawford report.
And how about Crawford? He was only 41% owned when that news broke on Monday. Now he's 43% as of our time recording the episode. He's probably out there in most shallow leagues right now. So pick him up, stash him, and it's that simple.
I mean, maybe if you're even a little bit aggressive too and you really want to go all in to win your fantasy championship, maybe your forward categories aren't good enough and you think you're going to have to win it from the back end, maybe you take a shot on trading for a guy like that. If you have a good number one and your number two is a little bit shaky, maybe you try and dish, you know, some forwards and just go all in the goalie position and get Crawford.
He's a guy that could put forth the efficiency to finish as a top 10 fantasy goalie, even though he's missed large chunks of time at the beginning of the season and now over the past couple of months. One other big note from over the weekend, Ducks finally stopped the bleeding. They fire Randy Carlyle. Replacement, kind of surprising. It's general manager Bob Murray. But the Ducks, for me, I took Getzlaff and Raquel out of the top 100 forward rankings, and it might be a long time before they get back in there.
I can't believe we're still talking about the Ducks at this point. I mean, in terms of fantasy relevance, they have absolutely zero now that John Gibson's day-to-day. Even that's a goaltender you couldn't have started for the past month now, maybe even longer than that. So to me, the fact that we're even spending time dissecting this is mind-boggling. But with that being said, Pete, the fact that Murray's behind the bench, keep an eye on this in keeper and dynasty leagues, because the GM now has a first glimpse of what's actually going on in the locker room. Who's showing up to the rink a little groggy? Who's not? It's going to be interesting to see how that team operates at the trade deadline, but certainly in fantasy, cut the cord. You should have already a couple weeks ago.
The core of that team, from Getzlaff to Kessler to Perry, a lot of these guys that have been out of the lineup, we know, we've been talking about Max Comtois when he comes back to the NHL level next season. We love Andre Kasha, his goals per 60. But this team is old, declining. They got swept in the playoffs last year. And I think even though it's kind of a dysfunctional situation with the GM becoming coach with no prior NHL experience, I think that it will lead to some accountability and potentially blowing the team up from a roster standpoint.
And Troy Terry's another guy we should add to that keeper list.
Definitely.
Really intriguing prospect for them. And look, if they hired Dallas Eakins in the offseason, the coach right now of their AHL team in San Diego, this could be a very quick rebuild on a team that has the pieces. It's just too bad right now this season. They're slow. Age is all creeping up at the wrong time, and right now in the Western Conference, they're completely shot.
And the only guy I would even remotely hang on to at this point, I mean, we were talking about Joe Thornton. I would replace Ryan Getzlaff with Joe Thornton right now without thinking twice. Ricard Raquel is the only one, because he covers hits, because he's tri-eligible, he's the only one that if someone dumped him after this coaching change or because of the struggles, maybe I'd take a stab at him The rest is history to me.
I agree with you because of the try eligibility. That is so underrated, especially at this time of the season when fantasy championships are right around the corner. If you have an injury at center, Pete, throw Ricard Raquel in there. If you have an injury at left wing, guess what? Same thing. And right wing, same thing on top of that.
So back to this Blackhawks-Bruins game before we move on to the rest of this big slate on Tuesday. Which way are you leaning? I mean, because Tuukka Rask, I think, is 9-0-2 in his past 11 games, or 9-0-3. He's playing really well, but it's hard to ignore this chemistry in the top six for the Blackhawks right now.
I mean, it's even before the Pasternak news, I was leaning towards taking some underdog in the Chicago Blackhawks. The reason why I say that is for a player on their second line, Alex DeBrincat, for $7,200 tonight. That's a player I am all over. His goal scoring right now has been absolutely unleashed. And honestly, since they acquired Dylan Strome, their two chemistry on that second line is so underrated. Watching them move the puck at even strength is a thing of beauty. But now they're on the both for on the first top power play with Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves. That is a lineup lock.
And the third wheel on that line, Dominic Cahoon, had a three-point game on Sunday against the Detroit Red Wings. He was fantasy relevant early in the season. I believe when he was playing, he was either playing with Kane or Taves at the time. But now playing away from both of them, he's also tri-eligible, and he's a streaming option, at least if you're in a deep league looking for someone maybe to replace a Pasternak.
With all that said about the Blackhawks, I would caution any fantasy owners, especially DFS owners, from taking a Blackhawks goalie in this game. The reason I say that is because the Bruins could get up for this one. McAvoy's been playing well on the blue line, which is nice to see. Marchand can elevate his game. Bergeron is putting together a phenomenal season, considering he missed time due to injury. So don't count this Bruins team out just because of the Pasternak news. But definitely, if you like the underdog, take the Chicago Blackhawks in this one.
They're going to need some more offense from their secondary and third defensemen. I mean, Charlie McAvoy, we saw 3 points over the weekend. That was his first points in almost 10 games. But he is playing 25-plus minutes a game lately, and I really like his buy-low capability for the rest of the season in fantasy. I own him in a couple of leagues. I'm waiting for it.
I do, too. And even without Pasternak, I don't view a player like that any differently because you get the same exposure to Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand and Charlie McAvoy. I have him moving up 10 spots in this week's rankings just because a player of his caliber, all it takes is that one or two games. When they get going, watch out, floodgates.
I love it. And the value prices on some of the guys we've been talking about, Dylan Strome, 5,600, Danton Heinen on the top line, at least for now, 3,700, and Dominic Cahoon, 4,700.
Let's break down Islanders at Sabres. I think this one has appeal in DFS because it could be a low ownership game. The Islanders, as well as they are playing, they've only scored 160 goals this year. The Devils, for reference, they've scored 159. So it really shows that the Islanders need some more goal scoring here. And on the flip side of the Sabres, you have Jeff Skinner right now. He's got 25 shots on goal over his past five. And Jack Eichel, very quietly, on a five-game point streak. So I do like some Sabres appeal. I wouldn't hammer their goalies. I wouldn't get crazy with it. If I'm spending up, though, it'd be Skinner or Eichel. That's it.
I agree. I think that Jason Pominville has a little sneaky value here, considering he's played the past couple of games. Hasn't really put a scoring dent into things, but playing with Skinner and Eichel, so there's a good chance he chips in an assist, a random assist on one of their goals, which is likely. But Robin Leonard, 8,600, you got to spend up for him, but he looked good in that. I mean, he's one of the best goalie stories in the league this year, but he looked good in his only appearance at Buffalo this season. 39 saves on 40 shots faced against the Sabres in Buffalo on New Year's Eve.
I know you like Ryan Pulock tonight, too, and I have another player that moved up big time in my D rankings today is Ryan Pulock. He has unlimited upside for the rest of the season. The only player on the Islanders' blue line I'm surprised is not doing anything is Nick Leddy. He's a -5 rating in the past four games, which, to me, on that Islanders team that plays so sound defensively, very hard to wrap my mind around.
Well, it's all about those power play struggles that we always talk about. When the power play starts to revert to respectability, then Nick Leddy's producing. When he was on that hot streak, he was doing a bulk of it on the power play. The power play is not good. It's the one weakness that could prevent the Islanders, likely a playoff team, to winning a round, which they should in the weakest bracket in the Metro, but they might not win a round because of their power play. So we'll see if they make a move before the deadline. For now, Ryan Pulock, stream city for fantasy. He's a reliable guy for categories and chipping in points with seven over his past five games. That's no slouch.
We have a confirmed goaltender alert. Anton Khudobin, $7,600, is starting for the Dallas Stars on the road against the Florida Panthers. He's in the top five in the NHL in save percentage, which is a little surprising considering the wins aren't really coming for him. Would you trust that matchup?
It's two mediocre teams. I mean, Dallas's goalies very quietly. They have two goalies in the top five qualifying leaders between Ben Bishop, who's currently injured, and Anton Khudobin, both tied with each other at 924. I would trust their chances of keeping this low scoring, and in that case, I certainly like the Stars over the Florida Panthers. The Panthers are switching their lines every game right now. Derek Brassard, keep an eye out for if he's on the top line, but I would probably roster for $7,600 a Khudobin on the road. Florida's just too up and down for me.
Florida's goalies are a mess right now. Luongo back-to-back games with a sub-900 save percentage. Reimer can't buy a win in this league. Let's look at some big-time names. So Tyler Seguin, 5 points and 20 shots on goal in the past five. I mean, a player, even without depth scoring there, Tyler Seguin just getting it done.
He's your go-to guy. I feel like he can really produce regardless of opponent, matchup, home, road. One of the most reliable players, top 25 overall, year after year after year, covering power play points, shots on goal. So Tyler Seguin worth spending up for. And Jamie Benn's shown a little bit of a pulse the past couple of games. I had him right around that range with Patrick Laine just sitting with high upside, but we have not really seen much of it over
the
past couple of weeks.
Are you getting the sense that we could start stacking these guys again? Or are you still thinking keep them as standalone value right now in DFS?
It's weird because Dallas, even in some of their wins during that winning streak, were playing low scoring games. So I kind of worry about loading up too much on them. They might win this game 2-1 or even 1-0. They've done that a bunch of times. That one game when they played Tampa at home, they lost, I think, 1-0 or 2-0 on an empty netter. They play low-scoring hockey. That's their best chance of competing.
And if you want value on the Stars, look at Miro Heiskanen, their rookie blue liner, one of the hottest defensemen in the NHL right now. He's scoring goals. He leads all rookie D-men in goals, and he looks like he's going to have the edge over Dahlin and maybe finishing second among Calder finalists. So keep an eye on that trend. He's been streaky this season, but in DFS, hit that. And in season longs, get him in your starting lineups now.
I loved how there's so many negative things going on with the Stars, but when I talked to Heiskanen at the All-Star game, he was just positive. He was happy to be playing 25 minutes a game on some nights, even when Klingberg was out, he was saying. So I like his positive beat, and I think that he's gonna be really strong over the second half of the season. Now, Capitals at Blue Jackets. So Evgeny Kuznetsov has been out of this world lately. He passed Nicholas Backstrom in our rankings and is getting closer to the top 30 overall, I think.
He should be there, and he's a player that's a lineup lock for me tonight for $7,600. That is my core center play. He's had over 40 FanDuel points in two of his past three. The goals are coming, the shots are coming, the assists are coming. He's doing it all. He's quarterbacking the power play now, really, and that power play wasn't a top 10 unit. They look good against the Kings last night. I think even on short rest, quick turnaround time, travel time, everything considered, against Sergei Bobrovsky, I like Kuznetsov again.
I think there's some sneaky appeal to the Blue Jackets secondary forwards in this game with the Capitals being on the back-to-back, and then also with them giving up a ton of goals more times than not over the past couple of months. Even against the Kings on Monday, gave up four. It hasn't been pretty defensively since Perry Trotz has left. So I would roster for $5,000 a Josh Anderson, who has goals in three straight games, four of his past five. He entered my top 100 forward rankings and I think is one of the most underrated category guys in the league. So take a shot on him in FanDuel.
Interesting stat line here from Sergei Bobrovsky. Three straight W's with a 905 save percentage. I'm really not sure how that's possible.
Good for him, though. I mean, he's a free agent. He might get traded, but at least in the short term, that team has a positive vibe going for it right now. They just swept their three-game Western Conference desert road trip against the Avalanche, the Coyotes, and the Golden Knights. That one was pretty shocking that they beat the Golden Knights in Vegas.
Don't forget, though, with just another week looming before the trade deadline, Pete, that this is going to be in the back of everybody's minds with Panarin and Bob in that room. I can't imagine it is the most tight-knit, secure room at this moment. But let's turn things to a goalie who's been playing lights out in Ottawa, Anders Nielsen. These stat lines are incredible for him. 6-2-0, 949 save percentage in his past a little bit. And they're playing the Hurricanes at home. So that's a matchup for Nielsen I really enjoy for $8,100. If you can consider that spending up for it, I would get Nielsen in my starting lineup tonight.
I really like Anders Nielsen. He's a guy that's been relevant as a backup goalie in recent years. Buffalo Sabres, Vancouver Canucks. He's had his flashes of brilliance. But to me, this reeks of a situation where he can take the ball and run with it, with Craig Anderson being in the later stages of his career. I mean, Anders Nielsen is a free agent this summer. He has a chance right now to prove, to settle the team down a little bit and prove that he's the goalie of the future for that team. I mean, I know he's kind of in his prime, but he's not someone who's ever been a pure number one starter for an extended period of time. But with the Mark Stone situation, the Matt Duchene situation, it's all uncertain, but at least they can bank on that trade they made a couple of weeks ago to bring Anders Nielsen. He's 6-2 with a 945 or something save percentage over that span. So he's making a strong case to be their starter come next year.
Ryan Dzingel for $5,600 is a good value stream. 11 points in the past 13 games. Brings you the high-end exposure without paying a high-end price, so that would be my value play at forward tonight.
And Ryan Dzingel is another guy that's a potential 2019 UFA, so they're going to have to re-up him as well. A lot of decisions to be made for the Ottawa Senators. Now, one of the best matchups on paper for Tuesday night, Lightning hosting the Flames. The Flames, scoring-wise, have been a little off lately. I think there's a little against-the-grain bounce-back appeal, though, for Matthew Tkachuk here.
Matthew Tkachuk, 0 points in his past five games. To me, this is a game that you're going to have to get a chippy goal. Matthew Tkachuk is the king, undisputed champion of chippy goals in the NHL, so it is a nice bounce-back spot for him. But against a quality opponent in the Tampa Bay Lightning, I need to see the Flames have a rebound game before I spend any money on them in my DFS lineup.
Now, Andre Palat was banged up. It looks like he's going to play. The top six for Tampa Bay over the past couple of games has been all over the place. We've seen Kucherov play with Stamkos a little bit. We'll see what sticks with that. To me, I zero in on a Yanni Gord and a Tyler Johnson, neither of them playing particularly well lately or even over the past couple of months, even with Johnson playing on the top line for much of that stretch. Are these guys you cut bait on or remain patient with?
You have to remain patient with those two players. The reason I say it for Gord is because he brings that elite exposure, whether he's on the first line or the second line. He's going to get it with Stamkos most likely, or even Kucherov. So that's a player you hang on to. And then for Tyler Johnson, he's tri-eligible. And on a great team like the Lightning, there can only be so many cooks in the kitchen. So when the production drops off for a little bit, you can bet that in the next week or two, it'll be back on and sustained for however long he can go on.
Now, this game on its own, I think, could be high scoring. I would refrain from picking a Vasilevsky in this game just because of the caliber of offense, even if they haven't shown it lately for the Flames. There are better goalie matchups moving forward on this slate. Now, the Blues hosting the Devils, this is one that jumps out with how well the Blues have been playing, sweeping a home-and-home from Nashville over the weekend, and Jordan Binnington 9-1-1 as a starter. So I would lean towards Binnington, regardless of his price, over a Vasilevsky because it's a weaker opponent.
Well, I look at the Devils with some sneaky appeal, Pete, and I think it comes in DFS only at this point, but Marcus Johansson for $4,000 on the top line, playing 20 minutes per night, had two goals the other night. Jesper Bratt, same thing, on a four-game point streak. So those are two guys that I would look to round up the last spot on my lineup at the forward position with. And again, I'm not saying the Devils are going to go into St. Louis here and shut them down and blow them out of their own rink. But what I am saying is the Devils are a very low ownership DFS play. This is how you win on a big night slate. You get a Marcus Johansson, you get a Jesper Bratt. One of those guys has a goal. Nobody else has them in their lineup.
I just love the way the Blues are trending right now. From Tarasenko, who had a hat trick in his last game, they just the fact that they were able to clean the slate with Nashville is incredibly impressive. Bodes well for a potential playoff matchup. Good to hear that David Perron could potentially return soon. He's missed the past few games with an upper body injury, but I would say that on this slate, roster a Braden Schenn, roster a Ryan O'Reilly, or a Tarasenko. Get one of those three in your lineup because that top line is making music right now for St. Louis.
One of the hottest offensive teams in the NHL, and Nashville Predators are playing the Detroit Red Wings tonight. I have to look at Ryan Johansson as another center that I have my eye on. The reason I say that is because Vic Arvidsson on that top line has 16 goals in his past 19 games. His price is high now. And I don't know if that shooting percentage comes down. He's not getting assists. He's only scoring, which is a good thing for fantasy owners. But in DFS, I'm taking Ryan Johansson because he's the one setting up every single one of those goals.
Right, whether it's Forsberg scoring the goals or Arvidsson, who I think has 23 or 24 in 30-something games, a ridiculous pace right now for Victor Arvidsson, who doesn't get talked about nearly as much as he should around the league in the larger scheme. But, yeah, that top line, in terms of trios, is arguably the best in the NHL over the past few weeks since they've gotten healthy and Arvidsson clicking at a very high level.
It's probably the most complete line in terms of top lines around the NHL when you get the dynamic scoring, you get the great playmaking ability, you get good corner board play. So in DFS, that line has everything you need it to get all in on it. And the Red Wings are a very favorable opponent for them. I will have to give the Dylan Larkin update here. 5 points in his past five games, heavy shot volumes as per usual there. So if you like Dylan Larkin, like I always do, throw him in at center, but this is a matchup that I would lean towards Nashville in.
I wanted to just break down a little strategy here. So whether you're talking about Johansson or Kovalchuk or Simmons, Matt Zuccarello, or in this case, Gustav Nyquist, potential free agents who almost certainly will be traded. Nyquist has had a really strong season. Is he a guy that you should target ahead of the potential trade with the February 25th? Deadline looming?
Yes, I'd add him right alongside Simmons and Zuccarello to that list of guys I'd be looking to pick up via trade in fantasy. For Nyquist, I really do think the Red Wings should re-sign a player like that. He seems to have good chemistry on multiple lines there. So, for you know, as a GM, I think I'd be trying to ink that guy to a deal. But if they do elect to move him, get some draft picks or prospects, what have you, yes, if you can get him in fantasy now, do your due diligence at this moment. Right now, the trade deadline's next Friday, not this Friday, but next Friday. So while all the hype is going on next week, that's all we're going to hear about. Send the trade offers through right now.
And a lot of those guys I mentioned might even be out on the waiver wire, in which case you pick them up, hope they get traded. Worst case, they get traded to the wrong spot where their fantasy value doesn't benefit, and then you cut the cord. The one thing that you want to be ahead of the curve on is those trades, because once they happen, the guys will be long gone, and then the price to acquire a player that was traded will be much higher than it is right now.
And let's stick with Wayne Simmons' Philadelphia Flyers. They're traveling to Minnesota for the second of a back-to-back. They were just in Philly last night, lost a 4-1 game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. I thought the Flyers looked great in that game. They came up short, though. Do you see appeal here in a Flyers travel schedule, or are you taking the Wild?
I think the Wild will probably win the game. It'll be low scoring. I'm not going as far as to roster any of these players. I know Granlund scored over the weekend to break a long drought. He's still too expensive for my liking. There's Parisi, safe. Spurgeon, safe. Suter, safe. I mean, from the Flyers' standpoint, it's going to be Stolarz. I don't like them on the road. That's a brutal day, a 24-hour road trip after they outshot the Penguins crazy and couldn't buy a bucket. So we'll see what happens, but I'm steering clear of this one from DFS.
Yeah, they put up 51 shots on Murray, which was crazy that he played that well and kept the pucks out. But for me, when you look at season long here for the Flyers to get away from DFS for a moment, look at Brian Elliott. He's been loaned to Lehigh Valley on a conditioning stint, going to get some starts down there. This is a player in season-long leagues. Why not add him? This Carter Hart thing is great, but if this Flyers team falls any further out of the playoff mix, they would be doing a disservice to keep throwing Hart in there while the defense deteriorates. Look at Shane Gostisbehere's plus-minus. Need to ask no further questions after seeing that. This is a player, Brian Elliott. If you add him now, he's probably good for maybe 15 starts rest of the regular season. His peripherals have been good. I would have no chance, no problem picking him up, putting him in my lineup.
I hope we see Carter Hart stay at the NHL level for the rest of the season. That said, if they trade Simmons, if it starts to be more of a negative aura surrounding the team, I totally agree. Send him down, pick things up next year. Get the locker room where it needs to be and sell off some assets to get better for the future.
And that being said, I don't see that team going completely off the rails, even if they do sell Wayne Simmons. With Claude Giroux, Travis Konecny, James Van Riemsdyk, and co., that's a team that's going to compete. I just don't know if they can come over that 8-point gap now between them and Pittsburgh.
You know who's been really good over the past couple of weeks? The Jacob Voracek, Sean Couturier duo. So If those guys fit into your lineup, I wouldn't hesitate to roster them. I'm just not going out of my way to target those guys right now. But Konechny, really a nice replacement option on the waiver wire. Try eligible for David Pastrnak, as we mentioned earlier.
Now, Patrick Laine, if we're doing daily updates for players, that's a guy that has zero goals in his past 11 games. They do have a nice game against the Rangers, so circle that one on the schedule tonight. But I do not have Patrick Laine in my lineup.
Well, I mean, Alexander Georgiev stopped, I think he had 55 saves on Sunday night against the Maple Leafs, which is insane, and it won't continue if the Rangers go into Winnipeg and allow 40, 45, 50 shots on goal. The floodgates could open, so this might be a good bounce-back spot, but hey, I've been saying this for weeks, I feel like, with Patrick Laine. It's getting a little frustrating, and even more frustrating for the people that own him in fantasy.
So I will tell those people that own him in fantasy, I did not start him in my season-long league that you have to do weekly Monday starts. You lock into that lineup. I didn't start him. So that, to me, says a gut feeling that he could bounce back this week. This could be the week because I didn't start him. But all other signs point to do not put him in the lineup. The two Jets I do have in my lineup, Jacob Trouba for $5,800 and Connor Hellebuyck for $8,500. Now, I mentioned some other goalies we like on the slate, but I feel confident about Hellebuyck. 4-1-1 with a 920 in his past six for $8,500. This is just a team I was telling you earlier. They just don't need to play these regular season games. They're such a dominant skill team. They're such a heavy hitting team. They're built for the playoffs. But I love this matchup for them against the Rangers. It should be a very light work game for them.
Yeah, winning a game 5-2 is very likely for this upcoming game against the Rangers. And they've been an underwhelming team for the past couple of weeks. The Jets had a rough weekend. I know they beat the Sabres, but it's just they haven't played up to their capability. I expect it to change here in this game. And whether it's Hellebuyck or Laurent Brossoit, roster him comfortably.
And it's all about getting hot at the right times. I mean, if this team steamrolls their way into the playoffs, we're not going to be talking about. Remember that one stretch in January when those guys, they only put up 2 points that week, and no one's going to care. So
it's so true. So now another team that's going off the rails, and the Maple Leafs are visiting the Colorado Avalanche, and the Avalanche are maybe one, who knows, one more bad game away from making a coaching change or just going into sell mode or going into lottery mode. We'll see what happens, but I don't think this is a very nice matchup for them against Austin Matthews, John Tavares, Mitchell Marner, Morgan Riley, Jake Muzzin. How many more players do I have to name?
Nazem Kadri. I mean, I think Avs fans should buckle the seatbelt on this one. It's going to be a very bumpy ride tonight. I think Toronto comes in here, blows the doors off the Pepsi Center. I expect a huge game. And this is one of those games where I think if the Leafs get up 2-0 early on, I think guys like Nazem Kadri will play big minutes. So I would target maybe that secondary scoring for Toronto, especially too because Austin Matthews hasn't been producing that much as of late. So have a hard time paying up for him, but certainly look at Zach Hyman, Mitch Marner, and then a guy like Nazem Kadri. Any one of those three in your lineup, I think you'll be sitting pretty.
So Matthews is playing with Kapanen and Patrick Marleau lately, neither of whom have done much. I know Kapanen scored the other day, but it's just Austin Matthews continues to decline a little bit in the overall forward landscape. I still think he has a very high ceiling for the rest of the way. Zach Hyman's back in that spot with Tavares and Marner, and he is a great even-strength source of production if he's available on the waiver wire.
And if you want to talk about demoralizing losses, I think this is the game on the calendar. You just circle it. The Leafs come in here. They put up 7 goals against maybe Varlamov or Grubauer, and the season's over for the Avalanche. I mean, outside of their top line, which we could talk at length about how great they are, there is no more fantasy appeal on this team. Even Tyson Barrie lately, his plus-minus is slipping out of control. I like the Avs. I like the story, but they just don't have the depth, and they don't have the head coach that makes me feel confident there.
And they're also not as good of a home team right now, anywhere near it compared to where last year, one of the elite home teams. And even to start this year, when those guys were pouring in points, Rantanen, McKinnon were leading the league in scoring, they were playing well at home, but past couple of months has been a steady tumble down for Colorado.
And if there's any more conviction to be desired, Toronto is a great road team. Mike Babcock gets those guys up on the road, so there you have it.
Now, last game of the night, Coyotes at Golden Knights. We both feel very strongly about the Golden Knights here. Fleury's 2-0, 941 save percentage this season against the Coyotes. The top line right now for Vegas has been reunited and is clicking over the past 2-3 games.
Hey, just in time, right? Last 2 months, 3 months of the regular season approaching here, Good time for them to get that chemistry going again. Riley Smith up on that top line now. It was nice streaming Valentin Zhikov and DFS in the $3,000 range, but that's something you cannot do anymore. Go back in on the stacks. Get March. So with either Smith or Carlson, I don't think you'll pay a price either way on that one.
So no go on Darcy Kuemper. I know he's kept them really competitive regardless of all the situations going on for Arizona, but I just think this is a hard pass.
There is value on the Coyotes and a Jordan Osterley, especially in season long, but for DFS, I just have to take a pass on the Coyotes in this game.
I agree. I think that other than Connor Garland, maybe if he's cheap. But one thing, encouraging note before we wrap things up, Michael Grabner skating/practicing after that eye injury. We'll give a shout out to John Isner. Maybe he's going to activate him off IR in his shorthanded points league. But anyway, Michael Grabner is a great goal scorer who could give them a little bit of a lift.
That's like waking up on Christmas morning for John Isner there. So, yep, shorthanded goals. Be prepared in the second half. Hey, if your season-long league counts shorthanded goals and Michael Grabner is available, you might as well pick him up, right?
No doubt. So, once again, thanks so much for listening. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Hit us up with any last-minute questions. Rob at NHL Reese, myself, NHL Jensen. Review on iTunes, subscribe again, and we'll talk to you again later in the week. Thanks so much for listening.